I've been hearing a lot of smack talk recently from other radio programs trying to put Studio 2 down, saying we're too chatty and irreverent, whatever that means. That's why I can't wait for Radio Mania 2024 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Oh, morning edition, you're gonna be in mourning when we're done with you. All things consider, consider this elbow to the face. Marketplace, we're gonna mark your face with bruises, fresh air. Oh, I've been waiting for you, fresh air. We're gonna put a fresh pair of boots up your you-know-what. In any other radio program that wants to come after Studio 2, know this. You're gonna be begging for a pledge break, brother, when all is said and done. Cause that's what the Studio 2 tag team does.
Avi, I'm glad to be your tag team partner. Let me tell you.
We ready? Are we in the right frame of mind?
We're in the right frame of mind. And let me tell you, Cherry Bombshell, can't wait for the fresh air people to show up on our doormat. I'm ready.
We're going to call it Dynamo Dave Davies versus the Avenger. That's me. You're a Cherry Bombshell. It does sound like a good idea.
It does.
I checked with insurance. I checked with HR. They said it was a no-go. Radio Mania 2024 was canceled as soon as it began. I apologize.
It's all good. We're going to leave it up to the pros. And the good news is they are coming into town. WrestleMania 40. It's happening in Philly this weekend. It's a huge pro wrestling event with names like Dwayne, The Rock, Johnson, or Cody Rhodes.
As you probably could tell from that very bad promo, the producers thought it was not a good idea to have the two of us talk about wrestling for 20 minutes. So we brought in some experts. Who are they, Cherry?
They are WHYY reporter Corey Sharber, who is a wrestling enthusiast and reported on multiple wrestling events. We also have Bob Smith, former managing editor of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. He's also podcast host for the Outdated Wrestling Hour. Bob and Corey, welcome to Studio 2.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I wish you, you should gotta be careful talking about the fresh air crew, because when Terry Gross gives you a tombstone pile driver,
it's I know, that's right.
And I don't know how I'm going to follow up that opener. Holy smokes.
Maybe I should ask, how was my technique? Was that a decent, I think that's called a promo, right?
Mm-hmm. That was a promo.
And what is a promo?
You nailed it. It was very 1986, but you did nail it.
So yeah, it was an old school wrestling promo was what
right.
I did.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? And by the way, if you want to chime in, 888-477-9499, you can email studio2@whyy.org. What's so interesting to me is that, you know, I just riffed that. I kind of did it in a take. I have never sat down and watched a wrestling match, but my reference was for that was just all these clips I've seen online circulating of new and old wrestling promos and wrestling videos. And maybe I'll start with you, Bob. Like, how has social media helped expose professional wrestling to a new generation?
Like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there have been many, many phases in wrestling since I started watching back when Methuselah was a young boy. I started watching wrestling in 1970. So there have been many changes. To speak of what you're talking about, first of all, the advent of cable TV killed the territories. Then the internet killed the magazines, right? When everybody got their, you know, wrestling news from the magazines. But now it's expanding wrestling in terms of the big two companies with social media. They all have Facebook accounts. They're all on Instagram. They're all posting everything they do. If Becky Lynch goes and eats a piece of blueberry pie, it's a video of it somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, they're like movie stars now, to be honest with you. The coverage they get. And you know something? Back when I was with the magazines, we would go to major cards. There'd be like three reporters there.
That's a major bout.
Yeah. A major bout. Yeah. Now with these huge mega cards they have, they're covered by the mainstream media like I never thought I would see in my lifetime. I mean, Forbes has a wrestling writer. Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine. Yeah.
So how do you explain that, Bob? Like, how do you? Because you mentioned the regionals. Like, it used to kind of be regional circuits, right?
Sort
of.
Right.
There was one in the East Coast and the South, and you know, and it was kind of balkanized. And then it became this big conglomerate, WWF, then WWE. And I know they have rivals and stuff, but like, how did that evolution happen? Why did it happen?
Well, it happened around the advent of the cable era, around 84.
Yeah.
I should say cable era. And Vince McMahon Jr., who ran the WWF at that point, decided to go and buy up every big name piece of talent he could. And because he knew he had cable TV exposure, the smaller territorial people couldn't keep up with it, and they just shriveled up one by one. And by the early 90s, he was the only game in town.
Wow.
Now we have AEW that's chasing on his coattails, but the fact is right now the WWE is, Corey could probably vouch for, is blazing red hot, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact is, like, I mean, AEW, like, no offense to them, I mean, they did a stadium show in England not too long ago, mm-hmm. but that wasn't two nights. And that was the first one they've done. The WWE's done WrestleMania, how many football stadiums in this country?
Wow.
You know, and I mean, yeah, I mean, right now, also, WWE is a publicly traded company. I mean, the fact you can buy stock in a wrestling company is kind of nuts. I don't think AEW has anything like that at the moment. No offense.
Yeah,
that's so fascinating.
And I want to talk about WrestleMania because it's coming this weekend. I want you to kind of, before we start going, what it takes to build something so huge, let's talk about WrestleMania. Like, what is it? How big is it? What is the vibe of this thing that has been going on for decades? And Bob, I'll start with you, and Corey, we'll get your take. Yeah.
This may be the biggest WrestleMania of all time in here in Philadelphia this weekend. And I'll tell you why. You have a football stadium that's going to be filled to capacity two nights in a row. And I think it's going to produce a Taylor Swift-like economic windfall for the city of Philadelphia. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all those people, all those hotels, all those restaurants all humming. You've got peripheral events like conventions and wrestling cards, like Corey just saw one yesterday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All kinds of things are going on. I'm walking the streets out here, and I see people with their, you know, Becky Lynch T-shirts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, so it's going to be huge for Philadelphia. But how did it get this big? Really good marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, superb, subtle. This isn't a commercial, but it is a commercial. You have to remember that Monday Night Raw is on for 3 hours every Monday night. It's essentially a commercial for people to watch pay-per-view events or watch Peacock where they show their, or to go to a live show. Pro wrestling is the only thing where they can charge top dollar for you to be a studio audience, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
Most shows, you get in for free.
Yeah. And Corey, you said 3 years old, your first exposure, you're in your 20s now.
Yeah.
What drew you to this? And what is it like for you, a lifelong fan turned reporter now, just talk about your love of professional wrestling. What is it about it that draws you in?
Yeah. I mean, as a kid, I mean, it was literally like watching like real life superheroes. I mean, these people are, you know, jumping off the top rope, doing all these backflips and whatnot. You always have people like, you know, a great example, I think he'll be performing at WrestleMania this weekend, Rey Mysterio. He's this like little masked luchador who, you know, is constantly finding himself in these David versus Goliath battles where he's this like 5'7" guy somehow toppling like the 7-foot giant and winning like the world heavyweight title and things like that. I guess the reason I stuck with it, you know, my parents thought I was going to grow out of it. And then here we are 24 years later and I'm like going to wrestling shows all the time. I wear wrestling shirts at the office. I think they greatly underestimated how much I really like this stuff. But I mean, as a reporter, I mean, this is like, you know, to be here in Philadelphia, a place I've always wanted to live in for starters, to have the biggest wrestling event in the world right down, you know, literally right down the block from a lot of us. You know, it's great not just because, you know, of how big and gargantuan this event is, but because of all the other smaller events that are popping up around the area as well. Like last night I was at this show in Germantown called Russell John, which great name for a wrestling event. And I interviewed this one wrestler, his name's Paul London. And growing up, Paul London was literally one of my favorite wrestlers. And you two are looking at me like, well, who the hell is Paul London?
Yeah.
And I mean, Paul London was a cruiserweight wrestler. So he was like, you know, one of the smaller guys on the roster. So when you see a person like John Cena with his bulging biceps or Brock Lesnar, like this guy would kind of look like a normal guy, kind of like the rest of us. But he was going in the ring doing these crazy like shooting star presses, doing all these backflips and just having all these incredible matches. And here I am, like right next to him at this brewery in Germantown, just talking to him backstage. I'm like, man, what a small world we live in. And it's like, I want to also note, like, pro wrestlers and pro wrestling fans are some of the nicest people you'll come across. You know, it's literally like we're all just celebrating just how bizarre we all are and connecting on that, you know?
Yeah, and I think about that, Bob. I want to bring you back in the conversation because I'm hearing Corey talk about these characters.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot. And Avi and I mean, Avi did a great job on that promo, but it takes a lot to sort of, like, create these characters, big, small, big personalities doing these feats. They're more than just athletes. They're actors. There's so many things.
Mm-hmm. They had their own unique personalities. And, you know, on that note, I think one of the big reasons for the emergence of wrestling at this particular moment in its history is the emergence of the woman wrestler and the female fan.
Mm-hmm.
They are equal to the men in terms of how they're promoted, how they're shown on television, equal time straight away. It's the healthiest thing to happen to the sport in 30 years.
We've come a long way from Miss Elizabeth. I don't know if you remember
exactly.
Miss Elizabeth. We've
exactly.
come a long way.
Who was Miss Elizabeth? You got to fill
she
me
was
in
like there. The first lady of wrestling for mm-hmm. a long time. She was like more like a sidekick.
Yes.
She'd be on the phone. She'd be talking stuff, kind of stirring, but she wasn't an actual wrestler. She was kind of like the promotional person.
Well, she was very pretty, and she was
dressed in like very feminine clothes. Now they're athletes kicking butt.
Right.
Yeah. Well, can I just reestablish something? WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You say it's the biggest event of the year. So it's sort of like, is someone getting crowned a champion? Like, what is the actual outcome of WrestleMania?
Well, I think the big main event for this WrestleMania is going to be Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns has been the Universal Champion for over 1,000 days,
which is a lie.
That's long.
We haven't seen.
And Cody Rhodes is the son of this very famous wrestler, correct? Dusty Rhodes.
Yes.
Right?
So Dusty Rhodes
was the
American Dream. Cody Rhodes is the American Nightmare. Now, Dusty Rhodes was a very successful wrestler back in his day. His influence is still felt to this day of all the people he was training in the WWE. And Dusty Rhodes never won the big title in the WWE.
So his son is trying to do what his dad couldn't do. And he is going to face this guy, Roman Reigns.
Yes.
And whoever wins the match is the champion?
What do they get?
Well, they get a nice pretty belt.
Okay. It's big, right?
It's a big belt. And you can buy it at WWE shop right now. But it's like, Roman Reigns has been this, he calls himself the tribal chief. He has just this, it's interesting because he was what they call a baby face for so many years, like being the good guy.
He was a good guy.
And I remember going and seeing him live like 8 years ago, and half the crowd was booing him because they were just sick of him. They just, no one wanted to cheer for this guy. And then he finally becomes a heel, which
That's
is
a bad
guy.
Yes.
And the fans immediately were like, finally, this is what we've been wanting.
Hmm. But the storylines. I mean, look, we got the backstory from Corey, but Bob, mm-hmm. this is a key part of what makes wrestling and WrestleMania so popular.
Exactly. Like for the 2 days, this is actually a 2-day event. And what it is, it's all the intermingling and finales to all these storylines, all these feuds, all these controversies, all these personalities. So if you're looking for the period at the end of a sentence in terms of two wrestlers who are combating against each other, WrestleMania is it. It's like the World Series. That's it for another year. You know what I'm saying? So it's what would you say, Corey? I mean, is that a good way of putting it? It's kind of like the finale to a lot of different storylines.
Yeah, they all kind of converge at WrestleMania.
Like he mentioned, like this is like the period to end all sentences. I would say this is the exclamation point.
Yeah.
I mean, this is,
good point.
I was speaking with a gentleman who actually is the GM at the Wells Fargo Center. He actually went to WrestleMania 15, 25 years ago at that same arena. He still has a ticket stub and everything. You can read about it on WHOY.com.
But
it's nuts because he was telling me how when he went to that event, it felt bigger than a wrestling event. And I think now the price is literally, the price is on the current ticket. It's outgrown arenas. It's at a football stadium for 2 days.
What are the prices?
I don't want to give away my net worth here, but I cannot afford them.
Yeah.
I'm not going either. It had nothing to do with the price, but I did see a chart when it was first announced, and the $1,800 ringside seat and the $180 nosebleed seat. You know what I'm saying? So it is not a cheap date.
I want to make sure we get this in though, because we're talking success story, but there have been so many scandals associated with WWF and then WWE over the years, controversies around steroids, concussions, the latest, Vince McMahon, who was the face of WWE, maybe the most important wrestling executive of all time, facing allegations of sex trafficking and sexual assault. I mean, does WWE, Bob, need a culture change, or perhaps is all of this scandal actually good for business? Because sometimes I get that sense when I read about it online.
Oh, I hope that's not true.
Yeah.
I hope that's not true.
Because it's weird because McMahon is a character in the universe, and he's a villainous character, and yet now we have this parallel of potentially villainous things that he's done in real life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wonder if we are truly separating sort of the fictional world of WWE from the real world and what the business of how WWE is actually run.
Well, you know, there's been controversies. You go back to the 80s, and, you know, all kinds of things were going on between steroid use and he was on trial for steroid trafficking. Forgive me if I'm saying that wrong, but, you know, he was exonerated on that. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's a situation where if he did the crime, he should do the time, as far as I'm concerned. There's no gray. I don't see a lot of gray area in these allegations. Mm-hmm. So it's frightening to me what's gone down there.
But I guess now, my broader question is, does WWE need to step back and reflect on, given these allegations, sort of like where it is as a company?
On a corporate level, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But the thing is, here you go, they're selling a product at the same time. Yeah. So are they actually going to come out and announce, hey, we're going to do this differently? That's an internal thing. Mm. And I think what happened in this case is an internal, you know, with an employee type of thing. It's so sordid. You know, I don't know what to make of it all other than, like I said,
yeah,
you're right. They have to rethink what they do corporately. If that was allowed to fester and grow,
yeah,
get rid of that. You know, cut the head off the snake. It's
got to
go.
Yeah, we only have about a minute and a half left. We got a lot of big stars coming to Philadelphia. We got Lil Wayne. We got Meek Mill's going to be here. We heard that Philadelphia Eagle Jason Kelce is going to make an appearance possibly. How big of a deal is this for folks to get in front of this audience and the diversity of this audience? These tens of thousands of people are going to be there. Like, is it a game changer for some folks in their career? Like, what is this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, let's say, like, Cody Rhodes, if he finishes the story, his career is forever set in stone with the biggest WrestleMania event that's ever happened, right? But then it's also, I think it's not just, you know, having that WrestleMania moment in front of 60,000 plus people. It's about all the people who have never watched wrestling that are going to be getting into this stuff now because what's going on at the same? Why are all these fireworks going off? You know, mm-hmm. I think that arguably is the bigger piece of the puzzle. All the people who usually aren't into this, getting into this because of the spectacle of it all, you know?
But also, Bob, people are going to capitalize on this audience. You got other folks piggybacking who are not in wrestling who want to piggyback on the phenomenon.
You betcha. When B.B. King was a younger blues artist, his manager had him open for the Rolling Stones, which created a whole new audience for him. Mm-hmm. And I think the musicians and actors look at it the same way. Being seen by all these people can open some doors.
Yeah, great example, Bad Bunny. He had a WWE belt at one point, performed with it on Saturday Night Live. I mean, that's great marketing for the WWE, don't you think?
I do.
That was Corey Sharber, reporter here at WHYY. Corey, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Bob Smith, former managing editor of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, podcast host of the outdated Wrestling Hour. Thank you, Bob.